Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy wherever they get their podcasts.
The FIA World Endurance Championship on RS1.
On RS1.
Part of the Radio Show Limited Network.
Well, drivers and teams having to decide how much they will go out in this session. It's been raining pretty solidly all morning. First of all, some big news from yesterday. The session was stopped a couple of times and ultimately finished early with a crash between the VistaJet 54 AF Corsa and the Ferrari of Diego Alessi, the number 21. Basically, he came out of the pits. The VistaJet car was coming out of the pits and should have been protected by white flags. The white flags were out, but as Diego Alessi came up to Radeon, he drove straight into him and unfortunately caused a very big accident, and it was very bad damage for both cars. Now the stewards have looked at that, and in fact they're going to have a penalty. We'll hear more about that in a moment after Frankie Castellacci with Luis down in the pits.
Francesco Castellacci, we can see the 54 AF Corsa in. We've just seen the incident on the TV pictures from yesterday. Tell us what work the team have had to put into the car to get it to this point this morning.
Huge work. Unbelievable work, because they stayed until 4 a.m. here and only 1 hour sleep, and early in the morning they were again here, and look, it looks like new. It's the same chassis. The damage was big because, you know, when you crash there in Eau Rouge, it's always a big one. And, of course, was not at all Thomas' fault. He was coming out cold tires and going up Eau Rouge, actually fifth gear, more than 175 kilometers per hour, so not slow. The other driver just, I think, switched off his brain and just hit him, and not respecting the white flag, as Eduardo said, that the white flag, it's important when you see it and you need to slow down, and just hit him. So big mistake from the other driver. And anyway, good thing is that the car is in all in one piece, and the guys did unbelievable job.
So you're all suited up. You're going to be going out in the car today.
Yeah, for sure, because we need to test that everything works. And I think like this we do, it's like a kind of shakedown for the car before the quali, that Thomas will jump in, and hopefully will be good.
Well, good to see you back out. Thank you.
Thank you. Ciao.
So Thomas Flo unhurt, the car repaired, and the upshot of that is a penalty for the AF Corsa number 21 car caused by that incident with Diego Alessi. And it will be a 30-second stop-go in the race. So that is not in this session, that will be in the race, and they can't take it until the race director announces it. And once the stop go has been notified, the car can't cross the start finish line more than four times, unless of course we go to a yellow flag. So we'll have to keep an eye out for that tomorrow. And it is race day tomorrow. Don't forget, Johnny will be joined by Bruce Jones. FP3 start delayed. Race control just letting us know here. We might even hear that from Eduardo in a moment or two. I know there's a huge amount of Brits have gone over. It seemed like half of the collective were on their way on Wednesday or Thursday to Spa. So if you tuned in to us now at the track on RS1, thank you very much. We continue with our coverage of the FIA WEC dedicated radio coverage, as we have done since actually ILMC days, haven't we? Let's be honest. A couple of other things then that I'll quickly rattle through for the from the stewards' room. We had Jacques Villeneuve in the Peugeot who was pinged for speeding. Esteban Guerrieri in the number four, that's the Collis Racing car. He hit the 777 Aston Martin, recognised he's a mistake and apologised. So he has got a 10-minute stop and he had a 10-minute stop and hold at the beginning of the last free practice session. And then Jacques Villeneuve, in the same car, didn't reduce speed under full course yellow. Took him 22 seconds nearly. Basically, the drive-through was suspended until the end of the session, so long as they don't breach the regulations. However, after that, it wasn't a good day for the Bike Colours running team. They have got a 10-minute stop and hold at the beginning of this session because they didn't serve the time penalty correctly, and the mechanics were working on the car during a stop and hold. Now, they have to serve that 10-minute stop and hold, 10-minute stop and hold at the beginning of this session. Or if they can't do it for whatever reason, it will go into the race. And again, that only happens once Eduardo, the race director, Eduardo Freitas, a Portuguese race director, says, right, now car number four, you need to come in and serve your 10-minute hold. So they can't just sit it out. If there's something the matter with the car, that won't count. They have got to be on track, and then the race control will shout them in. Now, what else has been happening? Blisteringly quick times yesterday. Ferrari's first and second in second practice. Toyota and Ferrari in free practice one. But the big news is the times that were getting turned in. 2 seconds and more ahead of the race lap record, which was set back in 2021 by Seb Buemi in the TSO 10. Almost down to the two-minute mark. 2:01 and change. So it's been absolutely outstanding in terms of the front of the field. And both times that we've seen the fast time at the top,
one
whether
minute,
it was the
under 1 minute to open pit exit, under 1 minute to open pit exit.
So that's Eduardo just giving us a time check because we are running a little bit late. The Toyota that topped the times in FP1 was a second and a half quicker. Than its teammate and the other Ferrari. And also
30 seconds to open pit lane.
The two Ferraris were split by the same sort of bus. So we've had one car that's been it's been really interesting to see that the major manufacturers have dialed in one car and really gone for it. All right, we're getting ready to go. Here's Eduardo.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. FP3 has started. The track has been declared wet. Cars with rain lights on in low mode. And please, again, respect track limits. White flags will be presented during the session, protecting any car exiting the pit lane.
And that was the cause of the accident yesterday. So let's get the cars out on the track. Remember, they don't join at the end of the pit lane. They join at the top of the hill. Well, I was going to say that, but I don't think they have. I think they've come straight out rather than coming onto the Kemmel straight through the old pits for this. Let's check that out the next time I see the end of the pit lane. That was what I read in the driver briefing notes. Quick chat about tyres here. Michelin asked for a dispensation for this race because of the likelihood of cold and inclement changing weather to use all three, or to make available, should I say, all three of the compounds rather than just two. So two soft compounds and the medium compound of slicks are all available to the hypercar runners only, but it does not increase the tyre allocation, if that makes any sense. So you've still got the same number of tyres and tyre sets, but you can now have a wider choice for the hypercars only. And we will get the tyre information through the race to see who's doing what with whom. Weather forecast for the weekend is typically Spa, so we could have a bit of anything. And those of you who are here trackside, I'm sure, have had the sense to pack for all eventualities. Hello to Matt Hunter at work, who's listening in. Hello to those of you at the track. And hello to Simon H, who is listening on his smart speaker. For those of you who want to do that, apparently if you say Radio Le Mans in a vaguely American accent, that works. So Radio Le Mans, apparently that works. We've got timing and scoring, of course, up from the brilliant amount of information that is running via Alcamel and the FIA, live.fia.com/EN/live. And there are a number of different pages that you can take from that, including the very important race control. It's just down the left-hand side. It's like a little clipboard. So that's where you can follow along. It is still wet on the Camel Straight as the cars have started to go out. I did wonder how many cars would go out and what we would see. But of course, at Spa, the opportunity to take some laps, whatever the weather, is... it would be remiss to turn it down, really, wouldn't it? Let's be honest. So that is what most of the runners are doing. So around about 14 Celsius in the air and about 16 on the track. 87% humidity suggests there's still perhaps a little bit of dampness in the air as the gold-fronted Cadillac number 3, this is the additional car, goes back into the pit lane. This car here to get a little bit of practice in WEC rules and regs.
Steering wheel is slightly right-hand down. And for some reason, I couldn't get to the race page. It was on the mechanics set of pages. And even if I scrolled through, I couldn't get back.
And copy, added we'll have a look at that. We're going to put you in the garage here just to have a look at everything.
And added to that, that was the dulcet tones, not of Eduardo Freitas, but of Jack Aitken, who's been added to that car this weekend, to the number 3 car. It's Richard Westbrook, Alex Lynn and Earl Bamber in the number 2, which is the blue-fronted car. And it's Renger van der Zande and Sebastian Bourdais in with that number 3 car. As I say, they're getting some practice for Le Mans. Also on site, quite a number of Action Express mechanics. He'll be running what in IMSA is the 31 car at Le Mans as well. So they're getting an opportunity to experience the FIA WEC pit lane. I think that's really, really sensible, and watch what's going on. And it should be noted as well that there is a slight difference in specification between the IMSA Cadillacs and, indeed, the IMSA Porsches as well, and the ones here at FIA WEC. There's, I think we've mentioned this before, the what's called the scrutineering wiring looms, which is what's mandated by the 2 series, are slightly different. I noticed that Bozzy posted some pictures yesterday, some subtle differences on the rear aero on the Porsches between IMSA and WEC. Once you've homologated, of course, you can't swap between. They have to be consistent throughout the season in each of the 2 different series. But that was an interesting spot by Bozzy. Sound of a 4.6 V8 in the background. Twin turbocharged is the number 6 Porsche with the white stripes. That's Laurence Van Tork going down to La Sauce, the right-hand corner, which looks terribly slow in a fast Le Mans racing car, but actually is way quicker than you think if you've ever driven this on a track day. Probably third gear, in between second or third. Now through to Eau Rouge and up over the top at Radion. That's where the incident was yesterday between the two Ferraris. And still damp on the Kemmel straight there, so wet tyres, the order of the day for everybody. There's no intermediates here from Michelin, but as I said earlier, three classes, three different compounds of slick tyre for the first time this season, and only for this race, by the way. That was a request from Michelin, and that is only for this race. Got some times coming in for you in a wee while, but at the moment it looks like one or two in laps and out laps, with the clouds looking a little bit threatening over on the far side of the circuit. Qualifying to come later on today. Johnny Palmer will join me for that. The times yesterday, absolutely extraordinary. I'm just keeping an eye on the race control channel as well. The fastest lap yesterday was from the 51 AF Corsa Ferrari, a 2.018 against a lap record of 2.02930. And that is pretty impressive. 2.031 from the second of the Ferraris, and 2.033 for the best of the Cadillac. So Ferrari, Cadillac, Toyota in the shape of the number 8 with a 2.043 yesterday. LMP2 lap record is a 2.04155. I doubt we'll get near that because, of course, they've been slowed down. That goes back to 2019. That was Pastor Maldonado. And in GTE, the outright race lap record for GTE is held by Kevin Estra and Porsche, with a 2.13.6 in, again, that was the Porsche 19, the 911 RSR 19 in 2021. But it's Alessio Rivera who has the GTE AM record with a 2.14.111. So we'll keep an eye open for those speeds when we get to the race tomorrow, Saturday. Full coverage here on RS1 as part of our continuing extended coverage of this season of FIA WEC. Remember, we'll have test day for you from Le Mans and every single session live, and we're the only people to bring you full dedicated radio coverage, free and uninterrupted, no blocks, all the way around the world. So wherever you're joining us from this morning, just coming up to a 11:15 here. Now, a bit of a miss at the top of the hill for the Iron Dames, straight on at Le Combe, and actually, if the gate had been open, could have gone down onto the old circuit there, but nothing hit. There's an escape road down there. It's Robin Freisch who is in the number 31 Team WRT car, which is the fastest at the moment of the LMP2s. Now, Peugeot number 4 is out on the track, so now we have to wait. Peugeot 94 is out on the track. What I haven't seen is whether we've seen the bi-collars prototype on the track to see if that's going to get called in for its stop and hold. It can't just do it itself, if that makes any sense. It has to be notified by race control. And at the moment, that has not been notified for that particular car. I know that some of you at the track will be listening as well, so thank you for tuning in. Still tippy-toeing out there, and it seems as though everyone is taking it rather sensibly. It's quite a long time, actually, till later on this afternoon before we have the qualifying session. So there is an opportunity, should things go very, very wrong, to, if things go very, very wrong, 2.18.6, the fastest time by the number 50 Ferrari. So that's what, 15, 16 seconds slower than they were going yesterday. It's Miguel Molina behind the wheel of that number 50 car at the moment, with the number 7 Toyota in second place. Peugeot Total Energy number 94 in third. Then Cadillac number 2. It's the blue fronted Cadillac. And then the second of the Toyotas number 8. Then Porsche Penske number 6. Porsche Penske Motorsport number 6 in sixth. Then the 51 AF Corsa, then the 93 Peugeot in 8th. 9th is Porsche Penske, number 5. Then the Glickenhaus, then Hertz Team Jota. Ah, yes, Hertz Team Jota here with their 963, the first of the privateer cars. And absolutely splendid to have them here for the first time. Been a real charge for them from Portimao to go up to Vysac to finish building the car. Hardly even time for a shakedown. Virtually came straight to the track. They're then going to do a bit of testing. JDC, John Church's team, have got their car as well. 7 seconds covering the hypercar field at the moment. And for those of you following along on the internet, apologies. I'll apologise for our colleagues at the track. They're having some problems with the live feeds to the websites in terms of the timings, so we'll try and keep you up to date as much as we can. It's the 41 Team WRT LMP2 that leads from its teammate the 31. They're very much on home ground. Then the 28 Jota LMP2 car in third, United 22 in fourth, fifth in LMP2 Prema number 63. And in GTE arm, it's Richard Mille, the 83 Ferrari from Porsche number 56. That's the AO Project One car. Then ORT by TF in the pits at the moment for Aston Martin. Then GR Racing have just been overtaken by Corvette Racing number 33, looking for a three-peat, yes, for a hat-trick of victories. Should mention as well that Northwest AMR, the number 98, if you didn't catch the news during the week, Paul Dallolana has stepped away from racing, and so has the team. That's now Heart of Racing. You can't change the name of the entry over the course of the season. So Ian James, Alex Riberas are in with that number 98, and Daniel Mancinelli, the Italian, is the silver driver there, and they are in for the rest of the season now. Ian James' debut in FIA WEC, which I had a lot of money on, to be honest. So that's new for this weekend. Paul Dallolana deciding after, what is it? I mean, 12, 13, 14 seasons? That it's time to spend some more quality time with the family and running the business. Into the pits for Ferrari, for what looks like a very standard stop. Cycling through a number of the drivers at the moment. It was Tonio Giovinazzi who brought the 51 into the pit lane. See if he takes it back out again. If you are just joining us,
okay, Seb, I'm going to give you another lap or two. What do you think about the soft low temp for the next driver? What do you think about soft low temp, considering it's like an inter?
Some of the track will be obviously very easy. Some of the track might still be an issue. I guess we've got to try, to be honest.
So that's interesting. So that just goes back to the tyres we were talking about. They're on wets at the moment. They have SLTs. Which is soft low temp, that's what you heard, SLTs. We talked about that a lot, didn't we, at Daytona, about when they could use those. We normally have the second second LT tyre, which is the hot LTs, if you will. And then we have the medium tyres as well. Problem for Porsche Penske Motorsport and Fred Makovecki, who's weaving around down at Puon and going very slow. He might have a loose wheel on that number five Porsche 963. Is it tracking straight? I think it is. But he's not happy with something. Now, they've had drive shaft issues on the Porsche. Stopped one of the sessions, stopped FP2 yesterday because of that. And it is a bit of a worry that that has been the issue. He's coming back. We'll be able to get an idea once he comes into the pit lane. We do have Louise Beckett in the pit lane, of course, so she'll be on that, I'm absolutely certain. So it's Miguel Molina leading with a 2:18.764, 2:19.3 last time around for Mike Conway in the number 7 hypercar. That's the Toyota Gazoo Racing GRO10. He's just popped up into second. Nico Muller's just taken out the 94 Peugeot in third. Earl Bamber in fourth is in the pits for Cadillac number 2. That's the blue fronted car. They're separated by a second and a half. Virtually on the same time, 2:20.1, 2:20.2 is Jack Aitken with his first run out for Cadillac after that little steering wheel problem. Remember, the steering wheel wasn't straight. It looks like Porsche number 5 has got to the pit lane. That was a run on at Les Combes that started all that, and then there was a bit of a wiggle from, who did I put in that? Did I say Nico Muller was in that car? No, I said Fred Makovecki was in that car. Well, he's made it back to the pits. And we've got some slick tyres for that car.
Part of the pit detected, but I could not go. You can show the data in the video. I could not turn.
Maybe that's a steering rack issue, actually. Actually, it looks like he went out on slicks, so maybe he's trying a different flavour. Their sister car is in. The number 6 car is on with the white pinstripes and side swooshes. That's the same as IMSA. The black one is the number 5. That would be the number 7 in IMSA. Yeah, that's right. That was slick tyres coming off and slick tyres going on for Fred Mako's car. I'm told by Marcel Duke, who is trackside at Speaker's Corner, and I'm so pleased to see Marcel. Of course, he's using the old name for that corner. That's the downhill left-hander after what is either called Rivage or Bruxelles. So it's turn 9, but it's Speaker's Corner. And called that because from the old commentary box, which was on driver's left halfway down to Eau Rouge, you could actually see that was the place that you first saw them come back into sight for a moment. And he's just seen the number 4 Collis run machine there. So that car is out on track. So let's see if we hear. And let's see if we hear. That doesn't make any sense. Let's see if we get the call for that car to come in for its 10-minute stop and hold. So I think some of the hypercar runners are just scrubbing in tyres here. Particularly the Porsches. Number 5 has gone back out again. It was brought in by Freddie Mac, and it's gone out by Mako as well. Sliding around all over the place. Remember, only 2-wheel drive cars through Speaker's Corner now and heading down towards Puon. Its sister car is still in the pits. Kevin Estra brought that car in. Slicks going on to, all right, so it was wet coming off the number 3 gold fronted Cadillac, and slicks going on, steaming wet coming off that Cadillac, and they'll be the SLTs, the soft low temperature. Soft high temperature is the other soft compound, and medium again this weekend. I tell a lie. For the 6 Porsche, those are wet weather tyres. Wet weather tyres going on to the car that Kevin Estra brought in. That's some of the purple pit lane light colours across the front. Very clever. They've changed to white as soon as the car exits the pit, and Kevin Estra it was who stayed behind the wheel, and they are coming straight out onto the old start-finish straight, the downhill start-finish straight in front of the Heritage pit. Still Giovinazzi and the 51 Ferrari with the fastest time. Mikkel Jensen just pops up in a second now with a 2:18.7. So that's 4 seconds between the 51 Giovinazzi and Mikkel Jensen in the number 93 Peugeot. Then Miguel Molina in the number 50 that was the quickest car with that 2:18. So suggesting that the teams are either getting to grips with the conditions or they're changing around the tyres. I've been asked at RSL Studio, by the way, RSL underscore Studio, do they have to use the same tyre compound on all four wheels? Could they mix slicks fronts and wets rear? As far as I'm aware, you can't mix slicks and wets, but you can mix any of the other compounds on the same axle or on the same side. So in theory, at this race, you could use all three compounds on different corners of the car. You'd have to double up on one of them. But as far as I'm aware, you cannot mix slicks and wets. At RSL underscore studio, as I say, if you would like to keep in touch. Porsche Cup as well here this weekend. And if you're here at the track, get on to Alcamel on there as well. Porsche Benelux and Porsche Germany, I think. Carrera Cup Deutschland, both here this weekend. So we are down to 36 minutes to go. Let's have a look at the classes. GTE Arm, Alessio Piccarello now the quickest in the Porsche for Iron Lynx, number 60, with a 2:28.387 ahead of Lilo Wadu, who has just come in. No, just gone out of the pits for Richard Mille. That car was leading earlier on, the Ferrari 488, number 83. The Project 1 EO, PJ Hyatt driven car is third. That's the number 56. Ben Keating's in the pits with the bright yellow 33 Corvette. 45 kilos of success ballast in that car. And if you heard Midweek Motorsport on Wednesday, you'll have heard Ben talking about, he was honoured to have that because that shows how good they are. I love talking to Ben. He was brilliant on Wednesday. And if you're listening in now, I have a strong suspicion that will be coming up after this session. It was a great interview with Ben. Lovely to spend half an hour with him on Wednesday night. OF by TF Ahmed Alhati in 25th position. And fifth in GTM in the Aston Martin, number 25. Then the GR Racing, Ben Barker-driven Porsche, number 86. The black or dark grey car with the orange pinstripes in sixth for GTM. In LMP2, as we've just had an off-track moment for the Glickenhaus. Oh, off-track and into the gravel at Blanchimont. Gravel actually much closer to the track than it used to be for the Oli Plaar-driven Glickenhaus 007. That's the number 708 car, but the name of the car is the 007, of course. Let's do quickly LMP2, Alpine Elf Team, Mathieu Vaxvier, number 36. He's in 7th overall, and he's got a 2-minute 20 to his name. Next best LMP2, Tom Blomqvist for United Autosport. Tom back with the United Autosport 23 squad, as we've had a spin for the Colas number 4 car down at La Source. And it's facing the wrong direction at the moment for Esteban Gurrieri in the number 4 machine. And did he jump or was he pushed? I think possibly just a mistake on the brakes. No, he... Oh, very odd spin. Lazy spin. Barely even any wheel spin there. And just maybe took a tiny bit too much speed in. That car running at the moment in 19th position, overall 12th in hypercar. Right, let me quickly run through the rest of P2. So we've got Alpine number 36 from United Autosports number 23. Tom Blomqvist back with the IMSA drivers returning to duty for their respective teams. They were at Long Beach, of course, over the Portimao weekend. Still no movement for the number 4 prototype from Collis. keep an eye on that yellow flag at turn one. In third, it's United Autos. Prema Racing now got up in the second with Dorian Pam. In LMP2, that's the 63. Then the United number 23. Then United number 22, Phil Hansen behind the wheel. Then Caldarelli for Prema Racing's number 9. The top six made up by Ollie Rasmussen for Team Jota number 28, their full season LMP2 car. Mikkel Jensen exploring the outer reaches of the circuit in Peugeot number 93. So he'd lose that last lap. Tom Blomqvist's just had a lap deleted. This doesn't matter now to a certain extent, but of course it's race control just letting everybody know where the limits actually are, which I rather like. I've always thought that Edward was very sensible from that respect. So with 28 minutes to go, we're into the second half of this final 1 hour free practice session. Coverage live here on the Radio Show Limited network of channels. Good to have your company. And still, well, pointing in the right direction now, the dark-coloured number 4 Collis run machine. This is the FWRT 680 is their model number, the VV680. And still haven't had that car in, of course, for its 10 minutes stop and hold in this third free practice session. And you might think, well, what difference does that make? Well, if they don't get it, it will carry through to the race. We've already got a stop and hold for the EF Corsa number 21 car for its incident with Diego Alesi and Thomas Fleur in the number 54 Ferrari in FP2. That incident, really not amusing race control at all. And I think the reason for that was within the driver briefing and within all the driver briefing notes, that exact scenario was discussed, and there was a very specific set of guidelines given, which I'm afraid Alessio completely and utterly ignored. And I think that's why the patience ran out from race control. So in tomorrow's race, it will be an announcement from race control when that has to be taken.
We are tracking, we can see that. So we're going to box this lap, you stay in the car, and we're going to bleed tires again, and we will go.
Okay, that was the number 93 Peugeot for Mikkel Jensen. He's on slick, excuse me, he's not on slicks at all. He's on grooved wet weather tyres, which are steaming, and they're adjusting tyre pressures there, bleeding the air out, as you heard his engineer say. I think they're trying to work out where the crossover is, because there's a drying line on a number of places around this 4.3-mile classic circuit in the Ardennes. But it's not dry, if that makes sense. And it looks pretty greasy, even on the drying line as well. Ben Keating back out after a stunning couple of races at Sebring and at Portimao with the rest of the 33 team in that Corvette. Presuming they're not going to change their strategy, which has worked so well for them in the 8-hour race at Sebring and the 6-hour race at Portimao, where Ben qualifies and starts, does a third of the race, Nico Varone jumps in the middle, and then Nicky Katzberg finishes. Accident at Speaker's Corner. And this is the Lilo Wadu-driven number 83 Richard Mille EF Corsa Ferrari that looks like it's had a bit of a tank slapper there and gone in right-hand front first into what is now a little bit of gravel. Used to just be grass there. But there's not a lot of room, to be fair. Coming in from the middle of the road, maybe just took a little bit. Oh, no, it was just a proper slide. It was right rear first and then spun round. So still greasy out there at the moment. That's a downhill off camber corner. And we're going full course yellow, as you can hear from Eduardo.
Three, two, one. Full course yellow.
Now, if you're new to this form of racing, this is effectively a virtual safety car, as would be seen in Formula One. So everybody slows down to 80 kilometres an hour. And you've got a target time for various parts of the track, particularly on a long... So what, 4.3 miles is just over 7 kilometres here. And by the way, that is going to have an effect when that stop and hold that I was talking about for AF Corsa's number 21 Ferrari tomorrow in the race. The good news for them is that 30 seconds stationary in the pits, depending on how quickly that is called by race control, they probably won't fall off the lead lap in their class. They might not even fall off the lead lap because of the length of this circuit. It would have been disastrous for them at Portimao, for example, which is a much shorter lap. Portimao, one of the shortest tracks that we use, just 2.9 miles. And here, it will cost them track position, but potentially not ruin their race. So, everybody at full course yellow speed.
Well, that's the 28 just leaving, so we'll let that one go first. Dieter Gass, it's lovely to see you. Lovely to have you here with Hertz Team Jota. And now the arrival of your new hypercar, the 38.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, we couldn't wait to have the car here, obviously. It was all a big tension growing up. And I have to say, very emotional moment yesterday as well when the car left the garage for the first time. There was so much work and effort and passion put into everything from everybody. It's really amazing to see that.
I mean, what I like, first of all, is that the LMP2s and the hypercar are actually sharing the garage. And we know from the team that actually these mechanics that are all working on both cars have been with the team for a long time. It's not like they've brought new people in.
No, I mean, it's the same crew which ran the P2 car so far. So it's a very experienced team. They're all used to working together, so they know each other, which is a big advantage. Obviously, now is a different car, so we need to learn a few things on the new car. But you see, we're making steady progress every session, and I'm looking forward to what's coming next.
And of course, we know you from the Audi days. You're now team principal here. How is that for you to come into such a fresh, new team and bring your knowledge and experience?
It's fantastic. I love it because, I mean, it's back to go racing. I mean, being in a big company is good. It has some advantages. But I love the race for the racing side of it. And here I'm fully in it, so it's fantastic.
Lastly, they look like quite fresh slicks going on to that 38 just then at that pit stop.
Yeah, I mean, it's what it is, is it? So we're trying to maximize the experience in all areas, as well on the tyres, obviously, trying to give Antonio a feel of the changeover and, get some laps under our belt.
Great, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hello to Kevin Payne, dry line appearing at Lidcombe. I don't recall seeing the factory 963s. Well, they have been out, both of them. The number 5, currently third position for Fred McAvey. He started on wets. I think he might have gone to slicks now. And the 6 car is in 9th position, 8th in class for Kevin Estra, as he has also been in and out a couple of times. So just a reminder that free practice 2 incident yesterday up at the top of Radion, where the 54 VistaJet car had come out the pits on cold tyres, was steering over to the right-hand side as they were told to do, and they did actually use the F1 exit.
Guys, of the pits. I almost crashed. I needed to hook brakes so hard before the Fugosello. I slightly touched the nose. I was so lucky.
Okay, Ali, the nose looks okay. It's just the wheel is damaged. Nose is not okay. Let me get a clear answer.
Okay, you can
switch to this. That was Alessandro Pechidi in the 51 Ferrari, which was their radio traffic was a bit of a start from Portimao, with James Collado doing his best Rogu impression. No, No. Brilliant stuff. And that's Justin Taylor, by the way, who is their race engineer. Those of you with good memories will remember him from his Audi days as well, having just talked to Dieter Gass down there in the Hertz team Jota pits. Spin at Le Com it was for Alessandro Perghidi. I'm sure he probably said turn five. And the... Dieter Gass, well, he's been around the block a few times. I spoke to him at Sebring for quite some time, actually. He said it was very refreshing not to be working for a big manufacturer in a big OEM. Yes, he knows all the people at Porsche Motorsport, which I think is a great advantage, and that's why it's such a smart hire for the Tunbridge Wells UK-based team. But working for a smaller team, he said everything's quite dynamic. You don't have to worry about throwing things up the chain because they are the chain and they're the top of it. Really interesting chat with Dieter. Lovely bloke. Once had a very long chat with him at Paul Ricard about the, when he was running Audi DTM in the Class 1 days, about the possibility of Class 1 cars going to Le Mans and being endurance cars. And he reckoned it was absolutely possible for that to happen with a little bit of a turn down on the engine. Well, I'm afraid that Lila Wadoo's car is not drivable at the moment. What they've done, I see, they've lifted it straight out of the gravel. They've done a quick snatch on that Ferrari so that they didn't fill it up with wet gravel. There are lifting hooks on the top of all the cars and all the vehicles, all the recovery vehicles have a specific bar on their lifting arm that fastens to them. So that's been lifted. They attacked it with a leaf blower as well. And they've put it back onto all four wheels. And Lilo will now rejoin without hopefully spreading too much gravel on the track. She's just waiting for the wave of the marshal. Hello to all of our Orange Army working at Spa or wherever this weekend. Just a little mistake, came in just a tiny bit too quick. Actually got the right-hand side Michelins just onto the wet and off the drying line. And that was all that it took. Maybe half a car offline there, not even that. And those right-hand side, the working side tyres at the right-hander at Speaker's Corner, just giving up the grip and pitching her off. A little bit of a bump into the wall there on driver's right. But she's on her way back to the pits now. I expect to hear Eduardo's voice in a moment.
30 seconds to remove full course yellow.
30 seconds to go. And we'll be back to green with just on 20 minutes to go.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Full course yellow removed. Thank you to everyone.
I do like the fact that Eduardo does that so that we don't have to do that to count down. He does it far better than us anyway, and it gives me an opportunity to have a swig of my sacred coffee here in the Global Broadcast Centre. Hello to Tubbs. I know he'll be listening. Hello to Malcolm Cracknell, founder and original editor of DailySportsCar.com, who I know is tuned in at the moment. Hello, Crackers. What a race this is going to be tomorrow. I know you'll be tuned in for that as well. So we're back to green flag. Spots of rain at Lycombe, says Kevin Payne, at RSL underscore studio. Good to have your company. Whether you're at the track or further afield, no interruptions, no blocks, all free. Right, if it's raining up at Le Com, that is normally where, that side of the circuit is normally where the weather comes from, up from what is effectively the southern end of the circuit. There's plenty of consternation down in the pits for people looking at various tyres. From the south and west, so from Le Com or even down at the bottom of the hill at Fine Campus, Stavelot sort of area. And there is a bit of a cell of rain coming in from that direction now. Let's go down to Louise in the pits, who's got Englishman Ollie Jarvis.
Ollie Jarvis, I just said the word Portimao to you and you got a big smile on your face. I mean, that was incredible last time out.
Yeah, it was just a really enjoyable race, actually. I mean, we had a few issues throughout, but to come away with the result we did after a tough Sebring, it just made it even more sweet. So, yeah, really delighted. It's exactly what we needed, and to get the win felt very special.
I don't know if you've seen the full access programme, but it really shed a light on what you went through as a driver and as a team, actually.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot going on in and out of the car, and I guess a little bit of experience, but also I could almost hear what my engineer was going to or wanted to tell me in the car. But I think we, you know, we managed it well. Team did a great job with the pit board, and you know, fortunately it worked out. You know, it could have gone either way, but this particular time it worked in our favour.
It really did work out. But now we're here in very different conditions to Spa. Of course, we haven't got high warmers here this season. And how's it affecting those LMP2s? Because you've got a lot of experience here at Spa.
Yeah, it's going to affect every class. I think the big thing is in mixed conditions like we have now, as a team and a drivers, we look at we call it a crossover point. It's a lap time at which we would start to go to slicks. But the problem now is you can't go to slicks as early as you could before, because before you could put hot tyres on, you could go out and generate the heat. Now the problem is if the track is damp, we just can't get the heat into the tyres. So we've got to be a lot more cautious, and you're going to see more spins, more incidents. So it's just waiting for that right moment. But you're going to find we're going to chew up the wet because it's too dry for wet, but we can't generate the heat in the slicks. So very difficult.
Okay, thank you. Well, we'll look forward to seeing you this weekend.
Thank you very much.
Ollie Jarvis there from United Autosports number 23 after the victory for that car at Portimao. That's what Louise... that is the fact to which Louise was alluding. Full rain down at Campus Corner now. Marcel Duke is down there trackside. We've got plenty of eyes and ears around the circuit this weekend. Good to see a decent crowd even here on the Friday, and I suspect there'll be one or two more people from the UK popping out later on today, tomorrow. On what is it, a bank holiday weekend this weekend, or is that next weekend? It doesn't really apply to us. We just work. So down to the last 15 minutes or so. I thought that was a very good point that Ollie Jarvis made there about no tyre warmers for the slicks and how that affects the tactics of coming back from full wets to slicks with no intermediates in the middle, and how many sets of wet tyres may have to be sacrificed over the course of the weekend. Spray again behind Alessandro Perghidi as he's heading down the hill through Puyon down towards where the rain is coming from. Very dark overhead now, and what was a couple of little splashes, well, actually it's almost cleared up again where the rain first started down at Campus and Stavelot, and there's a bit of sunshine down there now as the rain sweeps across the track as it is wont to do here at Spa. And that is the challenge. That is one of the brilliant challenges here. It's why also, of course, it is such a good test for Le Mans. Not the 8.5 miles, only about half of that here, 4.3 miles. But it does mean that the teams get good experience of having to work with a track that is very different at different sites and parts of the track. Hertz team Jota LMP2, or sorry, just Jota LMP2, going back onto their Goodyear slicks. And remember, it is only in the hypercars where there are choices of slick tyres. Everywhere else, it's a slick or a wet. And if you are just joining us, all three slick tyre options have been made available this weekend. The regulation's been amended for this race only. Generally speaking, here in WEC, it's only two of the three, but it's all three this weekend. Proper rain at the old start finish for Mirko Bortolotti heading down the hill in the Prema number 63. big machine gun lift off from the LMP2 there onto the Camel Straight, which is now soaked again. Wiper on as he carves his way past the number 54 Ferrari that has been rebuilt over the last couple of days. It's Frankie Castellacci just on an outlap there. I suspect that Mirko Bortolotti's got wet tyres on and they're up to temperature because he's carving his way through traffic. So he heads down towards Rivage or Bruxelles, the 180 degree downhill right-hander. Oh yeah, he's really brave as well. He's right on the white lines and even using a bit of curb as he comes down to Speaker's Corner, takes the inside of that curb as well. Patches of drying line down towards Puon as he heads down the hill towards Fine Campus, Stavolo and Curve Paul Frère. But the other part of the track, it is still tipping it down. Oh, hang on, it's Spa, of course. I'm not seeing that I'm surprised about that. Still a big dry line down the start-finish straight to La Source. But wipers are on coming out of the pit lane. The weather, as I said, was coming up from the south and the west, so sweeping in towards Stavolo Campus and at the top of the hill, Bruxelles, Malmedy and Les Combes. That's the sort of area that was coming across to. Blue-fronted Cadillac out on the racing circuit for Earl Bamber. That's the number two car. This is one of the additional Cadillacs for Le Mans. There will be two extras. We'll have the red-fronted Action Express run wheel and engineering car as well. Many of their team here this weekend getting a little bit of a look around the paddock and trying to understand what is going on. The unmistakable booming noise of the Cadillac and Earl going offline substantially as he was coming towards Blanchimont, which looks to be flat out again now. So I'd say he's on wet tyres and he's trying to keep them cool. Across the line for Earl. See if he improves. He does. 2:15.6. Good enough for fourth position. As he's down towards La Source already. What have we got left? 10 minutes. And no major whoopsies. We had that little off from Lila Wadu, which took a wee while to get the recovery vehicle there and get her Ferrari out of the gravel trap at Speaker's Corner. Very, very decisive and brave manoeuvre from Earl Bamber at the top of Radion there as he went past the Iron Dames. And that was Michelle Gatting on an outlap, actually, so she was close, going slowly. I've not yet seen the... Well, I'll come back to that in a moment. Very badly blistered tyres on the back of the Peugeot number 93 in the pit lane for Mikkel Jensen, who had been turning some laps. Remember, they bled some air out. Well, they've sent him back out with those tyres. Wow. Well, and off for David Enemar Hansen. That was at Les Combes. He regains the track. It's Goodyear tyres, good for rallycross as well, it would appear. No, it wasn't at Les Combes. My apologies. That was at Fine into Campus. Yeah, just went straight on. I was getting out of the way of the Hertz Jota 963, actually, which put him offline, and then he couldn't turn in. And so the LMP2 car becomes a very, very expensive gravel rake and grass cutter. Looks like he's not the first person to have done that this weekend. I think I saw one of the Carrera Cup cars in there earlier on. Actually, that should be no harm, no foul. I've not seen on the I have. 10 minutes stop and hold. Okay, so that came out straight away for the number 4 car, the FVRT Collars Run car. Okay, so they have presumably now served that. So that means that takes that away. That was for working on the car when they were supposed to be serving a penalty in FP3. The one that will carry forward in the race, because it was assessed to the race, remember, is that number 21 AF Corsa. That will be a 30-second stop and hold, as directed by race control, sometime after the start of the race. We're going to be busy on the penalties. Lots of track limits down at the bus stop, turns 18 and 19. Exit of Blanchimont as well. That's turn 17. Yeah, lots and lots there. Well, now it's just a warning, of course, and a deletion of a lap time. That could be crucial in qualifying. And we saw at Portimao, didn't we, that those quickly add up to a warning flag and then a drive through the pit lane. Improvement for Fred Makovecki. We'll get to that in a moment.
Because it's too dry now.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Because the first lap I had grip, second lap already gone.
Nicholas Nielsen has come into the pit lane. That was his radio you heard from a few moments ago. They are delayed, of course. Antonio Fuoco has taken over that Ferrari. Earl Bamber's had a spin down at the bottom of the hill. I want to tell you that Fred Mackwell's gone to the top with a 2:12.921. Bamber regains the circuit and carries on. Actually, that was at Rivage. At Bruxelles, excuse me. He just couldn't get it stopped. So again, braking problems from the two-wheel drive hybrids. And that was a 720, I think. Did he go around more than once? Who else just improved there? Ryo Hirakawa, last time around with a 2:14.0 in the number 8 GR010. It's getting dry. And we've reached that crossover point from what we've heard on the radio. From the slicks, from the wet to the slicks, and presumably it'll be the low temperature slick. It's a bit of sunshine down at the southwest end of the circuit. It's Stavelot to Blanchimont. So maybe we'll see some improvements in the last 5.5 minutes, is what we have left. RS1, dedicated live free radio coverage from the FIA WEC third round 2023 at Spa. We'll have qualifying later on this afternoon. Johnny Palmer will join me for that. And it'll be Johnny and Bruce to take you through the bulk of the race tomorrow. Let's hear Earl Bamber.
Earl, it's all okay?
Yeah, I just spun because my rear lift is dry now.
Yeah, copy. We box, and we try for the crossover. We think this is the crossover time, so box, and you go on the soft hots again.
SLTs. Soft low temperatures and soft high temperatures at HT. So he said soft hots there, didn't he? That's interesting. So a locking of the rear wheels and a lack of grip on the rear end for Earl Bamber, the Kiwi. It's a quick rundown for you as we've got 4 minutes to go. Porsche Penske Motorsport making it the third different manufacturer on top if it stays like this. We've had Toyota, we've had Ferrari, now we have Porsche in the FP3 session. 2:12.744 against 2:14.0 for Ryo Hirakawa for Toyota Gazoo Racing. Now a 2:12.911 for the GR010 driver, so he's down to a tenth of a second away from Fred Mackwell's time. Will Stevens has just gone out in the mighty 38, and welcome back to that number. Couldn't run that in the P2 car, of course. They ran 48. Then it's another Porsche 963. So three Porsche 963s in the top four at the moment, with Kevin Estra in the second of the Porsche Penske Motorsport 963s. As Romain Dumas goes to the top for Glickenhaus in the blue 708. 2:12.066 on a drying track. I think they've got the lap record here in terms, well, it's not a lap record, the fastest time that was clocked last year in It was either qualifying or FP3. I can't remember now without looking it up. But I think the Glickenhaus was fast here last year and has that fastest time if you look across the whole weekend. Well, that'll please Jim Glickenhaus. So 7.08, Glickenhaus from 5 Porsche, from 8 Toyota, from 38 Hertz Team Jota, from 6 Porsche Penske Motorsport, from 51 and United Autosport, Josh Pearson up into the hypercars with his LMP2 number 23. A 2:12.937. That's still 8 seconds off Pastor Maldonado's lap record from 2019 for LMP2. Steaming slicks coming off cars now rather than steaming wets that we had earlier on. 2 minutes to go. It's definitely slick tyres, but which version? Kamui Kobayashi, we know he'll leave nothing on the circuit as he goes up over that. Oh, I think he might have been flat through Eau Rouge there. And over the top at Blanchimont, he's got a huge amount of traffic ahead of him. His head's down to Lecombe. See the flashing rain lights ahead of him. That's going to stymie a quick lap as he comes up on the group of traffic, which includes the Proton Porsche. But it's lighting up around the circuit. 2:09.486 for Kamui Kobayashi last time around. Goes to the top from Ryo Hirakawa in the number 8. 2:11.344. Roman Dumas' time now only good enough for third and 2.5 seconds away as we've got a drying track here. Oh, if we could have this in qualifying later on this afternoon. It's not beyond the bounds of possibility, is it, here at Spa? And Porsche has gone off. This is the number 6 car. No, it's the number 5 car, excuse me. It's Fred Makovecki with the black pinstripes on. And he's gone off at the bottom of the hill. Oh, he's going to be annoyed because he was on a good lap there. Mako into the pits. Pit entry had been closed there for some reason as Fred went into the pits. Have we got a blockage in the pit lane? LMP 2, both the Uniteds doing well. 23 United from 31 Team WRT. Josh Pearson with the best time. Ferdy Habsburg in second. And a slightly pre-loved Porsche Penske number 5 that scraped the right-hand side of that car all the way down the barriers and has a mixture of red and yellow on it from the banded tyres, but it was pretty much a side on into those tyres. So Habsburg just improving the second there. It was United 1 and 2 as they had been for most of the session in LMP2. Iron Lynx, that Cressoni time from earlier on, 220. No, that's just been put in, 227.3. So the GT's improving as well. Then D Station Raven, Kaspar Stevenson, 229.5 in second. Richard Mille in third for Ferrari. Porsche, Aston Martin, Ferrari, the top three in GT. And check the flag is out. And Earl Bamber, despite his little off. And with, he got a new set of tyres, didn't he? By half a tenth of a second, Earl Bamber has the best time at the checkered flag. Kamui Kobayashi may be able to improve here. He's got clear-ish track ahead of him. Philippe Albuquerque goes to the best of P2s in the 22, so we're back to first and second for United Autosport at the end of this run. Romain Dumas does another quick lap. His quickest and fastest of the non-hybrids, but it's only good enough for sixth in their class. Kamui's at the bottom of the hill. He's going to go at the top. If he's not slowed down... Oh, now, hang on a second. He's got some traffic here, but he's up by about half a second by my calculations. He's got the car guy Porsche right ahead of him as he comes to Blanchimont. Does it slow him down? Oh, no, it doesn't. I didn't know which way to go. He's got off the track. He won't get that lap. Oh, can we? He won't get the lap. He was out of bounds at the exit of Blanchimont, turn 17. So I think that'll be taken away from him. For a moment, I'm sure he'll go to the top here. As Hurd's team, Jota, improve to third position overall. Yes, he goes to the top with a 2.087, but I think that'll be taken away. We'll see in a moment. Team WRT up to third overall with 30 Habsburg. Yeah, he's miles off the track. He was even over the green there. So that's going to go. Yeah, deleted. Turn 17, Blanchimont. So that will go. So it'll be Earl Bamber making it three different manufacturers, topping the timesheets in hypercar in three sessions. Brilliant run to third overall for the best of the LMP2s. Team WRT, Ferdy Habsburg. Hertz team Jota, Will Stevens getting the timing right in the Mighty 38. That'll be the best of... That'll be second best of the hypercars and the best Porsche ahead of both of the Porsche Penske Motorsport cars. Now, in fairness, the five car was in the pits at the end. Now, where was the six? Yes, also in the pits. So neither Fred Mackle or Kevin Estra out when the track was at its best. And of course, this counts for nothing. It's later on today that it is important. So it'll be Cadillac, I think. Yeah, it must be, surely. Well, we'll wait. That hasn't been taken from my screen yet. That 19th lap. So we'll wait for confirmation on that. However, please can we have the same sort of conditions, damp and drying, and see if we can have the same sort of excitement at the end when Johnny Palmer will join me for qualifying later on. Quickly through the classes then. WRT, top of the shop in LMP2, ahead of the two Uniteds, 22 from 23. There's another car in there. Oh, Gabby Aubrey snuck in there. I apologise to Vector Sport. Gabby Aubrey snuck up to fifth and second best of LMP2 whilst we were concentrating on whether Camry had lost his lap or not. So WRT, Vector, United in P2. And right at the end there, Matteo Crissoni improving again for Iron Lynx. Porsche ahead of Aston Martin from D Station. Kaspar Stevenson in the 777. Richard Mille, AF course of the 83 Lulu Wadu, despite that little drop earlier on, was in third position. And then another Ferrari, Takeshi Kimura for Kessel Racing in the 57. Then Porsche 911 RSR PJ Hyatt. I think at one stage I may have changed the car guy, Kessel car, from a Ferrari to a Porsche there, for which I have just realised, and I apologise. It's the Iron Lynx is the bright yellow Porsche. Corvette Racing Championship leader in sixth position at the moment for Ben Keating, who did the bulk of the driving in that session. Qualifying later on this afternoon. The teams in the pit lane doing a little bit of pit stop practice. They've learned, there's no doubt about it. Time on the track here at Spa, always really, really useful and important. And they've all taken some lessons. Tyre pressures, particularly on a drying track with wets. Where's the crossover point? When can you get onto one of the three slick tyre compounds? Those are all things that have been found out. The best of the hypercars, well, still shown as the 2.087 for Toyota Gazoo Racing at the moment, ahead of Cadillac and Hertz team Jota, with the fastest LMP2 there in third position for team WRT. Qualifying its usual exciting self, I am certain, when we're back later on this afternoon, and Johnny Palmer will join me, John Hindhoff, in the Global Broadcast Centre. But for the moment, from the Ardennes, thanks for joining us. We'll speak to you later on this afternoon.
This programme is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.